Hallelujah, Jesus. Magnify you, Lord Jesus. You know, the whole time I was sitting there, I was just thinking of this Proverbs that I was reading this verse. And it says that a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his path. And it's crazy because sometimes when things don't go our way, we get mad and frustrated. But when we put our faith in God and trust Him, He directs our path. And I also just thought about this other verse where it says, His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I just think, Lord, that His word sustains me and His word gives me peace. His word is truth. And I glorify God for that. I bless you, thee, Father. Blessed be your holy name, Father. I thank you for your word, Jesus. Your word is true, Lord. Your word brings us peace, Jesus. Your word sustains us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. We lift up your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We magnify you, Father. We adore you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We fix our eyes on you, Lord, and you alone, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Magnify you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're worthy of praise, glory, and honor, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Blessed be your holy name, Father. We glorify you, Father. We adore you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. We welcome you in this place, Father. We yield to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Father. 100-fold, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that grace and that mercy, Father. Jesus, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, Father. Blessed be your name, Father, forever and ever, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. We love you, Lord. Holy are you, Father. You're so majestic, Father. So lovely, Father. You're so loving, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We magnify you, Father. We adore you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I love you, Father. Father, you so love us, Father. You're so jealous for us, Jesus. Magnify you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Father, forever and ever. Blessed be your holy name, Father. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Father. I thank you that you're my high tower, Father. You're my shelter, Jesus. You're my strength, Father. Jesus, when I'm weak, you're my hope when I'm hopeless, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Father. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We reverence you, Father. Magnify your holy name, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We magnify you, Father. We glorify you, Jesus. You're so beautiful, Father. We thank you that we have freedom in you, Lord. Because, Father, we're more than conquerors in you, Father. We're super victorious, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Worship you, magnify you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's deliverance in your presence, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. Forever I am changed by your love, Father. And only by your love, Father, I can be changed, Father. I thank you for your presence, Father. We thank you for that loving presence, Lord. That sweet presence, Jesus. I worship you, Father. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We bless your name tonight, Lord. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We set our affections on you alone, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Worthy are you, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus, you're so glorious, Father. We magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Father. I praise you, Jesus. I adore you, Jesus. I magnify you, Father. I thank you for that love, Lord. That love that casts out all fear, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You're so worthy, Lord. You're worthy of praise, Jesus. You're worthy of praise, Jesus. So we praise your name, Father. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Holy are you, Lord Jesus. Holy, holy, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. To you all praises belong, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Magnify you, Lord. We thank you for that perfect love, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Worship you, Hallelujah. Father. Jesus.
Praise Hallelujah, you, Father. We just worship you.
Jesus.
We exalt you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worship you, Father. Praise you, Lord.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord.
Exalt you.
Praise Lord. Jesus.
Worship you.
Worship you, Father.
Jesus. Exalt you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Exalt you, Jesus. You have a particular request or need in your body. Good time to come and stand.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Worship.
Miracle line.
Hallelujah.
It's really tough to work with you folks. You're all healed. Hallelujah. But then again, if you need prayer, why don't you just lift those hands and just magnify.
Hallelujah.
We exalt you, Jesus.
Jesus.
We exalt you. Magnify
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Absolutely done. So all these things held up before you. Father, in the name of Jesus, be it unto him. Be it unto him. Move now in the name of Jesus over these areas. Receive now that life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll take all of it.
Oh, not just the men. If anybody wants to come up and just stand around our pastors, Pastor Bronk and Miss Candy. Just, you know. It's going to be easy. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We bless you, Lord. Pastor. Under the seat, sometimes they tell you different. They tell you different sometimes. They tell you different sometimes. But there's a working in your spirit, in your wife's spirit, a resolve, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, a level of compassion inside of you where you at times can say, well, what's going on here? But the level of compassion has risen up so high inside of you and your wife that the mindset to hurt anybody just almost doesn't even exist anymore. I've even thought to myself, God, Pastor, can't you say something? But there's a level of compassion that has risen up in you that is almost second to none. We're right there with you. Might not seem like it at times, but we're right there with you. What you don't say and how you live has been an awesome testimony to the body. It's easy to say and not to do, but you don't say and do in the spirit. And that in itself is a testimony to me. I know it is to me. I know my place is not in the secular world to work and labor. Right now I have to. But I know my place is here with you, side by side. Bringing in. A revival. So you're not by yourself. I mean, sometimes the chairs say different. But deep down in my heart and deep down in the heart of the people, the eldership of this church, sometimes there is distractions, but deep down inside of our heart, we know that we are to co-labor with you and your wife side by side till the floodgates of heaven are open or till the return of this man named Jesus Christ. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep preaching. Keep prophesying. Keep laying hands. More than anything, keep living the life that you live, because in itself is a testimony that Jesus Christ lives inside of you. The testimony that Jesus Christ lives inside of you and your wife. So, Father, all that you are, Lord, all that He wants, all that's in Him, Father, we just pray that you just consume Him, Father, from the top of His head to the sole of His feet, along with His wife, Father. A peace, a baptism, even more and more compassion, Lord. He's not alone, Father. More than us by His side, Father. Your Spirit, the Spirit of God, abides in Him, and in that He knows is His sufficiency, Lord. So we thank you, Father, that as a body of elders that will lean on your bosom, Father. And lean on your bosom, Father. And lean on your bosom, and lean on your bosom, and lean on your bosom, Father. And see the tactics of Satan more and more in our lives, Father. No matter how real they may seem. We even say to ourselves, that's just part of life. But no, it's not part of the life, Father. The more we lean on your bosom consistently, the more we love each other, Father, we'll know those tactics. We'll know those things that try and sidetrack us, Father, from what you would have us to do, Father, in this body, with you, with the saints, Father. May we stay focused on your bosom, Jesus, and everything else. Everything else will take its course. Our jobs, our children, our marriages, our families. We cannot, Father, as a body, be sidetracked, my Lord. We cannot be sidetracked, Father. But keep our eye on the prize, Father. You've called us all in here to co-labor with this man and to submit to his authority in the Spirit, Father. As one body, one mind, and one spirit, Father. To bring in and usher in your glory, Father. So that society may know that you live, Father. Not by our words, but by the glory that will be manifest in this place, Father. So, Pastor, you're not alone. There's a remnant with you. We will not bow. We might get sidetracked, but we will not bow to the system. And I think I speak for everybody in this church that we co-labor with you together, and we will finish our course. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and take the time to give each other a great big hug? Marty, maybe you can give us some lights. Whew. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. Worship you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you, that's good. That's good. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'll tell you, you couldn't have... Let's see, how could we compare this? If you'd have brought us out, give us some... Well, let me put it in mind. Brand new four-wheel drive pickup in the parking lot. It really, honestly, would not compare. Besides for that, we don't even spend time thinking on things like that. But just to get it over to you. Hallelujah. We just love every single one of you. Praise God. I think the last couple of services have been some of the best services I've ever been in. Really has. To me, it's the most exciting days of my life to watch people progress to where that they're... I'm quite certain it's never been a one-man show, but it is all the more showing the evidence of that. Sunday was evident of that. Man, there's going to be people, a lot of you, that's going to be full-time in the revival. Hallelujah. Homer was talking about that, and I know that's a day coming. I know we've got some intercessors. That's a day coming. Hallelujah, because that's where their heart's at right now. But Sunday was incredible. Everybody on the stage had something, and it was powerful. And then people came up, and it's so good to see God using the men too, and the women as well. I mean, just a wonderful, wonderful thing. Marty's back there tonight. I don't see him now. He's probably had to have a restroom break. He's doing two or three things at once. Matt and Marie are at a family gathering with their company this week, so they'll be out now on Sunday. But it's good to see other people step up. And hey, if you learn anything around here and do it, just a couple services, we put weight on you quickly. In fact, I was missing my first and second string piano players. Man, there's an anointing coming through those boys. Really is. Now it's kind of like our grandkids. Candy and I will hold JoJo and Aubrey and we'll say, what was life like before these guys? You know, how did we live? You know? So I'm wondering, how did we get along before, you know, Harry and Robert? So there's an anointing. Somebody's already called, a pastor called and asked for see if he could buy a CD of the music, and it was Harry playing. Isn't it great? Praise God. So what you guys did in the Spirit just then was probably one of the most precious things I've ever received, bar none. And I speak for Candy as well. So we give you all the glory, Father. Hallelujah. The prophecies, that vision that Marty had Sunday, I can't wait to rehear that. I've got, go into my mail now, because I want to read something, a document that was sent to me over the last couple of days. Two or three years ago, I was asked through Dave Roberson's ministry to be part of a group, and I don't know who else is in that group, to simply judge prophecies. The criteria that was going to be given to us, we would be sent prophecies, and we were asked to read them and to judge them and to respond. The beautiful part about it is that when it comes to me, and I read these prophecies, there's no name attached to it. And that's great, because I don't know if I'm judging one of Pastor Dave's, Gary's, or somebody that gave it in the congregation, or somebody that came so there's no prejudice. You know, there's a walk of the Spirit that judges things not according to who it is that's giving it, but the genuineness of the Holy Spirit, wherever it comes from. If it's God, it's God. Doesn't matter if Dave Roberson gave it or Susie Q or whoever it is. So this, I don't know who gave this, but there's parts of it that I heard in my spirit as I was reading it this afternoon, and I was saying, my God, and so I was able to send it back as something so genuine. I said it was a blessing to me, because we recently received something very close to this in our Sunday morning service. But I thought about when Marty was given that, and I haven't heard that vision since then, but it was so awesome, and it went right along with everything that Homer said right after. But this document came to me in the last couple days, and I want to read it. It's three or four paragraphs. It says, "There is a gathering." Let me see what the title is. "Despise not your small beginnings." Have we heard that? "There is a gathering taking place that is not seen by the natural eye. It is a gathering of faith and expectancy, and this gathering is of those grounded in truth and holiness. It is not visible to the world or natural eye, but it is clearly visible to me. Those who have connected themselves to my spirit are pressing in to that which I have obtained for them, are making up this gathering on the path into more of me. You could call this gathering inheritance, or you could call this gathering faith. I call this gathering the beginning of many things. Endurance has its day of reward, and this gathering is the beginning of these things. There is always a beginning to everything, and in my kingdom, the beginning is the first on the inside before it naturally is naturally seen. Small beginnings are grand in my eyes, for without a beginning, there is no possible manifestation of the promise your hearts see. The gathering I see is being strengthened each day by the equipping that fellowship with my spirit brings. This fellowship has brought forth this gathering, which is the beginning of my outpouring, and fellowship with my spirit will bring forth the manifestation of many great things that will be experienced and seen by those who are walking in love with me. Stay on the course through these beginnings, and despise not the beginnings of great things which the world cannot see. For great will be the good things you will see from me. Great will be the reward of fellowship with me. Great will be the reward of despising not your small beginnings and learning to walk strongly in whom I have made you in me. Together we will see many great things, but the foundation of great things is the small beginnings. Despise not these things and continue in fellowship with me." Hallelujah. That witnesses. I remember parts of that Sunday. Although we were so far in the Spirit, it was so wonderful. But I remember the Lord said that in that vision that it wasn't seen for a long time. And it just began, and people could drive by it and watch it and see it and not even recognize what was going on. But hallelujah, it was small, but then it got going. Hallelujah. Despise not the beginning of great things. And well, we know where we're headed. Revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just worship with me just a moment. Father, I exalt you. I bless you and praise you. Yours is the glory. Yours is the glory. I have nothing to say, nothing to do, nothing to bring forth except those things that you've placed in us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Heratia lomanse. Melebrende calasiolo Christe. If you'll notice, saith the Spirit of Grace, that one of the things that I keep repeating is that endurance will turn into great joy, saith the Spirit of Grace. That endurance will have its reward. For if you labor and continue to labor on the foundation and continue to walk into my love, you'll find that wisdom is justified of her children. And the groups that belong to this way will all rejoice together. And as I've said, it's not to justify you, but it's to bring forth truth in the earth and to bring forth love by my Spirit so that this harvest is greatly manifest. It will justify. It will justify my wisdom. It will justify the truth. It's not sent to justify you, but as you walk in the truth is justified. You'll see many, and great things will come. You'll see many return. You'll create an atmosphere where they won't have to return with hat in hand or asking entrance with humility, but they'll come in with joy. The humility will be of truth. It'll not be of shame. So welcome, pray. Pray for these. Bring forth an understanding for their life. In your intercession, saith the Spirit of Grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, sometimes we'll take a little bit of... We haven't even begun to enter into those things that Paul was accustomed to. Sometimes we'll take a little persecution for righteousness' sake. That's okay. Because he said, beware if man always speaks good of you. Because they spoke good of the false prophets. They persecuted the true prophets. They persecuted Jesus. They hung him on a cross. Are you comparing yourself with him? Yeah. I'm his and he's mine and I'm headed with him. Hallelujah. So Paul, he learned a place. He absolutely learned a place in Christ that just wasn't, there wasn't no quitting sense. And I'm so proud of all of you. Man, I'm proud of you, Ralph. How many are glad to see Ralph? Man, yay! I didn't know they were going to give you an ovation. It's like Rocky 6, I think it is. There's 6 of them. You want to just put me in a corner, give me a bag of popcorn, and give me all the Rockies back to back. You can lose me on a Saturday. Just go do what you need to do. I couldn't stay. The last one, he was telling his son was wimping out, crying, blaming him. He said, it's not how hard you can hit. He said, it's how hard you can get hit, get knocked down, get back up, and keep pressing forward. That's what it's about. It gets back up. Do you welcome these things? Oh, no. You can try to avoid them like the plague. He doesn't want you. We're not a sadistic bunch. We're not asking for pressures and those kind of things. But you know what brings revival is inevitable peace in the midst of the storm. It really is. How many times are you willing to get back up? How much are you willing to keep going forward and trust and lean on that peace that passes understanding? That's really the mark. That's why Homer and I, we've lost some of our soldiers at times. I'd look at him and he'd look at me and he'd say, "That's why you can count on one hand." How many people's ever had it? The revival. Because there's a real devil out there. And sometimes people think that if you don't talk about him, he'll just leave you alone. Like if you don't talk about, well, he's out there and he wants to kill you, then maybe, see, they think a lesser thought process would say, well, you make too much of him because you're talking about him and then you bring him on us. Listen, the ones he's got, they don't even know that he's got them. They're fighting their husbands. They're fighting their wives. They're mad. I'm talking about born-again people. They're mad about their work. They're mad about their no prayer life. There's hardly anything that distinguishes them from born again to not born again. I mean, you can't hardly tell. They live such a mediocre life. He's got them. They just don't even know they're in some kind of big web of his. When you begin to show his genius, but absolutely show that, like Paul, well, when Paul was in 2 Corinthians, he said, this is a time in his life. He said, we're troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Do you think that affects us? We're perplexed. We're troubled on every side, but not in distress. In other words, there's an inevitable peace in the midst of it all that, I mean, you can't, it just sometimes you're surrounded by it. But you know you're, something on the inside says you're going to walk out of this. You're going to walk out of it, whether it's something that come as a heartache or something that come as a physical or something that come to attach itself to your finances or all of the above. Troubled on every side. But not in distress. Only God can do that. Now, I think He really, 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 really could say that because he said that was in 2 Corinthians 4, but in 2 Corinthians 11, he said there was a bunch of people that were in the church and they were questioning his apostleship. Like, does he really have the right? He's down the road. So we're going to talk about it. False prophets and false apostles came in and they were teaching. You know what they're teaching? Through jealousy. Because if you don't have the anointing, you got to make it up with something. So you got to jump real loud and scream real hard. And then you, come on. Then you got to talk about the fantastic and the experiential, like how many visitations from angels you had. See, that stuff will bridge the gap between you and the anointing sometimes, but not really. Paul only talked about going to heaven one time and he said, that's enough. I ain't going to say anything else about it. But their guys were coming in and they were, you know, telling the people, who's Paul? And you know some of their arguments about Paul? One is his bodily appearance is contemptible. That's all they could find. He's not good looking. Man, that's bad. Another one was that He's never taken offerings from you. Well, I'd like a preacher like that. Paul said, I robbed other churches to provide for you. He didn't rob them. He wasn't an extorter, but he didn't take. And he said, the reason why I did it, because there are those among you who are lovers of money, that are preachers, that are lovers of money. I did that. I got supported by... Now, he had to be supported. Angels didn't just come and feed him like Elijah. Philippians was sending him money. Other people were sending him money. God does use people to give. But he said, I did this to cut off an occasion of the flesh. But you know, one of their accusations was, Paul doesn't take wages from you because he doesn't consider himself to be worthy, and he's probably not worthy as an apostle, as a preacher, to even receive wages. And that was another one of their arguments. He's not really worthy to be counted, to be paid. You know what he said? Rubbish. You know what? I won't even, he did not even go into their arguments. He said, this is my argument. I'll tell you what. This is the account that I give of my apostleship. And he said, I speak as a fool. I'm going to talk foolishly. I don't want to do this, but you've compelled me. They say this, that they're apostles. Well, let me tell you. What I'm going to tell you is that what qualifies me is how worthy that I've been counted by the other side to be stopped. How much Satan has chosen to stop me. Sounded like when Jesus was preaching to the Pharisees and he said, You accuse me of casting out Satan by Satan? He said, Satan can't cast out Satan. He can't cast out Satan. Well, then if Satan can't cast out Satan, then who do your children? In other words, you Pharisees, who do your disciples cast him out? By what power do they cast him out? He said, they'll be your judges. Meaning this, he knew that there was no power. They weren't casting out devils. Well, if they couldn't cast out devils, and he just said Satan can't cast out Satan, then that must mean that it took them a minute. They're scratching away to see. We know our disciples are not casting out devils. And, oh yeah, if they can't cast out devils, well then it must be because Satan is I'm in cahoots. He's my daddy. Hey, wait a minute. You're telling me. But you do cast him out. So, oh, wait a minute. You're accusing us of being on his side. Yeah. That's kind of what Paul was saying. Look, I'll tell you how worthy I am, or what qualifies me. He didn't say that, how worthy. I'll tell you what qualifies me. He said, five times I received 40 stripes, except one. I was beaten of the Jews. Some of this stuff goes way beyond. How can you make people that mad in one lifetime? They speculate, and they're probably pretty close, that he probably was executed before his 70th birthday. So he didn't live a long time. But even up till then, he was the one in control. He was in absolute control. You see, when they got ready to... He said, I'm ready. Okay, I choose. I'm ready. But after you give such a chronology of his life, you can see why the man would say, you know what? To be with Christ is far better. Five times beaten of the Jews, 40 stripes, save one, minus one. He said, three times beaten with rods, feet. Three times beaten with rods. He said, I was stoned Do you know they probably did kill him? God raised him up at Lystra. He probably did. The same thing that Paul witnessed with Stephen, he himself was a recipient of. They stoned him to death. All those rocks hitting him in the head. He was stoned. 3 times he suffered shipwreck. Now we don't even have all of Luke wrote Acts. And Luke traveled with Paul. I'll tell you, Luke's got a reward. Because he said, one place in the book of Hebrews, whoever wrote that, probably Paul, he said, you suffered not just because of yourself, but you suffered because you made yourself companions. Well, some of you have... well, I can say it to this bunch. But I probably won't say it to other bunches because I'll probably get stoned. Probably the biggest part is your own going in, like following the message. But a big part of a lot of what you've went through is because you've associated yourself with me. You make yourself a companion with those that go in. But if he can't get that person, he will start down. He will start down the ladder. Not that you're lower than me, but you know what I'm talking about. Because he come at Christ, he couldn't get him, and then Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired to, when he gets done with you, you won't even know you're Peter. Sift you. I mean sift you, but I've prayed for you, Peter. Hallelujah. So he's stoned and then 3 times shipwrecked. And so he knows what troubled on every side is. We don't even know all the shipwreck. Luke recorded Acts. The last chapter of the book of Acts, Paul is headed. They've got him in chains now, per se. He had liberties. And you get this long month after month after month journey through the Mediterranean. And he's meeting all these cities. He's delivered to a centurion called Julius. And this guy likes Paul, gives him liberty at ports that they would come to. They start out of the Fair Havens, I believe it was, and that was a port. And he told them, he said, men, I perceive in my spirit that we should not leave. Let's stay here. Because this voyage will be dangerous to ship, cargo, and our lives if we leave at this point in time. Well, the Holy Spirit gave him. And the Bible says because the centurion believed the captain of the ship, he said no. And it looked like, you know, the next day, fair winds blew. Immediately, soon thereafter, you know, those things just didn't happen. Those things didn't happen to the disciples that were out on the sea. I mean, it wasn't just a storm that came. Jesus fed those thousands and He went up into the mountain or He prayed. And in the middle of the night, He saw them toiling. But He sent them away because He knew Satan was coming immediately. I believe He really wanted to bridge a place between them and... but. Satan went out on the sea and was trying to kill all them boys. Blew a big storm in. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. Well, Paul, that wasn't just a storm. That was a principality or a power. Name's the name of the storm. What kind of storm it was. It was just a big hurricane. And for 14 days they were out there. 14 days and nights just beating and beating and beating and beating, and they thought they were going to die. You know what I like? What Paul said? On the 14th day, it was midnight. It was approaching the morning. He said that he stood up and he told them, I told you so. I told you don't do this. I told you not to do it. But he said, the God in whom I serve has sent his angel. He stood by me last night. He said, we are going to make it. We will make it. And not a hair of your head will be harmed. We're going to land on an island. He prophesied, told him the whole thing. When the day got daylight, they're listening to him. They put these dinghies over and they're going to jump into him. He said, no, if you go into him, you'll die. So then the soldiers, they cut them all off then. Paul's in charge. And there's 276 guys on that. That's a pretty good sized boat. In ancient world, that's a pretty good 276 people on that boat with the soldiers and the prisoners and the sailors. So the whole thing was, then they get to a place where it says two seas come together. It's actually a creek coming out. It's just a pass. They lift up the sail and just drive it in there. And then the stern is just beat apart. Well, the soldiers want to kill everybody. And the centurion says no, because he wants to save Paul. He said, anybody that can swim, jump over. And the rest of you, grab a board. Float inland. Well, they got in, and I like the way the King James says. It says, and the people was a barbarous people, but they showed us no small kindness. No small kindness. We would have said it this, they were really friendly people. They built a fire, it said, because of the cold and the rain. And Paul was gathering firewood. Hey, he didn't even throw in. It said a snake, a poisonous viper came out of the fire, attached itself on his hand, and he shook it off. And the people of the island looked at him and said, ah, look, he's got to be a murderer. Because though he's escaped the sea, he's still been chosen to be destroyed. You know how fickle people are. They watched him, waited for a few minutes to see him die. And when he had no harm, the Bible says that they said, oh, he's a god! They said, he is a god! Well, they stayed there 3 months on that island. Paul didn't even, in 2 Corinthians 11, he didn't even talk about, that was penny ante stuff. Oh, I'm bitten by snakes. I don't even mention those things. Perils of robbers, perils of countrymen, perils of heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the water, and weariness, and hungers, and fastings, and journeys often, painfulness, all these things. He said, this is what I'll list. And besides for that, he said, all the cares of the churches. He tries to put the cares of the churches on me daily. Satan comes to him and said, you know what you sowed over there? It'll never last. Do you know what his way of escape was? It was that he found the grace of God. In the next chapter, my grace is sufficient for you. And we went into that where he said, he finally come to the place where he understood, God, your grace is sufficient. Meaning, when I feel my weakest. Now, the Bible says this, let the weak say, I am strong. And that's supposed to be our confession. But when we do feel weak, when those things come upon us, listen, there is a way where we are to switch immediately. Switch our dependency from the flesh over to the Spirit. And guess what? If you just live that way, the switching is not hard at all. In fact, you can just live that way. And that's what he's teaching us through the dying process. Troubled on every side, but not in distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Do you know what perplexed means? It means there was a lot of times he looked at what surrounded him and said, I'm not really sure what to do right now. Meaning that perplexed means there's a lot of different, I'm standing at a place where I've got to depend on the Holy Spirit because I'm not really sure exactly how to handle this. Some of the elders have been handed things lately that they didn't ask for. They didn't ask for this to come into their life. They didn't ask for certain choices to be made for them. People made those choices for them, and they have to work through those situations. They're not under bondage, but they have to do what they're doing. It is a perplexing time. In other words, which way do I go? Paul said perplexed, but not in despair. Meaning, I'm perplexed. I'm not really sure, but I'm not in confusion. I'm not confused. Why? Because God is my guide, and God will see me through this. This is a season, and I'll walk past this. Hallelujah. What was the next one? He said, persecuted, but not forsaken. Homer did a good job of not... I mean, that was all God. Not just tonight, but Sunday. And whoever he was ministering to, when we're ministering to people, we do come to a place. We come to a place by His grace where it's not important for us to defend ourselves. But truly, we're looking for the grace of God for them. Truly. Do you know what happens when the enemy starts on a person, nitpicking? If he can get a person, this is why it's so important for us. It's so important for us to stand for those who have become offended or those who have let things come into their life like sin and have went apart. Because the only way that the enemy works is like this. He has to follow what he sees works. And the only thing that really works with people is the pattern of God. So he cannot come up with a genuine, unique pattern. He's got to follow a pattern that he saw that the Holy Spirit uses, and then he counterfeits that pattern, and that's where he hopes to gain success. Meaning, he takes it into darkness or perversion. Anything that he does is a perversion of the truth. So I say that to say this. How does God work in our life? Well, He works like this. He works from glory to glory. In other words, if you give Him a part of you, the Holy Spirit's real jealous in a beautiful way. If you go into more of the Word, spend more time in prayer and get more in worship. I mean, if you lean into God, you'll find that you'll come to a place of agape and peace, and it'll be new ground to you. Well, then the Holy Spirit will begin to, He'll begin to fasten Himself on those places of peace and gently kind of begin to lead you. Say, come on, come on, come on. Just like a little one walking, like our little Aubrey. She just started walking last week. Come on, come on. So that's how the Holy Spirit... And He'll take you to another level through the come ons. Come on, come on, you can do it. Come on. So you get real desperate. How does the enemy work? He'll take somebody from glory to glory per se too. But it's not glory. He'll never, listen, this is the bad thing about Him. What He does in a person's life today, He's a rat. Just like our God's so wonderful, God's not content with what He's got with you today. He's looking at 10 years down the road, taking you to a place where you're just, I mean, really. So you know, if you've been on this walk, you're not the man or woman that you were 5 years ago. Amen, Sandy. Amen. I believe that about you. But the enemy, that's how he works. So he doesn't get somebody just out there. If that's where they stopped, that wouldn't be good. But he has no intention to leave a person alone. He has no intention. And it might take years. Sometimes you see something and you say, well, okay, that's where they're at. Listen, if God can't get back involved and get them straightened out and walking down the road that He had them on, then you got to know this. It's His intention, the enemy that took them out, to take them eventually to another level, and to another level, and to another level. And pretty soon, it won't be just what took them out. He's like a fire. He just patterns everything after God. He'll eventually, if He can, get involved in a lot of different areas of their life. A lot of different areas. And you don't even see that show up sometimes for a number of years. But you know what I heard lately? I heard it tonight and I heard it last Wednesday, and I wasn't trying to... He said last Wednesday night, there's something coming in all this. To me, I'll tell you honestly, I really mean this. This part is I really believe that it's equivalent to raising the dead. Because if you can change a person's mind, and only the Holy Spirit can do that, who started going down a wrong direction, that's one of the hardest things to do, because the Holy Spirit can only go so far. He's got their free will to work with. He's got to work with that and to change your heart. And so you can't even minister, just like Homer was saying, he could only take it so far. But I heard last Wednesday night, he said something, and I don't know how it was said, but it's like, in all of this, boy, we're going to see some things that just to the natural is just unbelievable. Meaning, we're going to see some people that are God's going to restore. Hallelujah. Man, that's... Whew. Praise God. Praise God. And so, I know why he said that. It was to teach you how the enemy works and how dangerous that is. Well, what about, if we're here, are we always caught here? Are we in prison, we can't leave? Oh, no. You could go. You could move away, or you could go to the next city. But you know how you go? You go in the love of God. And you don't go offended. And you go in peace. And you ask the day that you leave, You don't do it in darkness, or you don't hide it. You just ask the day you leave for everybody to gather around you, lay hands on you, and give you a good going away. And if you need anything, give you an offering in your back pocket and bless you and say, man, thank you for the time that you served here. Bless God. That's how you do something. Praise God. Thank you. So he wanted you to pray for those people. Because we can make a difference. Hallelujah. Okay, he said this. This is one of the last. How do you get past all them boogers? You know, like the troubled on every side, perplexed, and, you know, but not in despair. All those things that would come. Grace is sufficient. But I'll tell you how that grace works. When Paul got done saying all that about surrounded, cast down but not destroyed. Cast down, that's the last one on that, those four. Cast down meant sometimes, boom, you just cast down so hard to just for a moment knock the breath out of you. I've got announcements at times where it just... Are you serious? This isn't even real. I wasn't expecting this. I've been hit. Some of you guys played football, or some of you guys wrestled, or some of you, or you know, whatever you did, play basketball. You've fallen down. Girls probably too. It's terrible when you get the breath knocked out of you. It feels like you're going to die for a minute. It's like... It's one of the most, it's kind of traumatizing too. It's like, is it coming back? Is it coming back? Your diaphragm has to relax and get that oxygen back in there. But that's what cast down is. Boom, you're cast down. And for just a 10-second count, it's like... And so you can take that and then walk away in fear, or else you can know, look, cast down but not destroyed. This thing is not going to work in me more than what it's supposed to. And what it's supposed to is I'll turn this into agape. But he told the remedy for all that. He said, we which live... He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of Christ and not of us. For we which live are always delivered over to death, that the power of Christ may work in us. What he was saying is the same thing that he said over in Romans 8 when he talked about what can separate us from the love of God. And the love of God is the very thing that's the final thing for us to walk in the fullness. That's where tongues takes us to. That's where fasting takes us to. That's where meditation and assimilation, it finally envelops us with such an agape that we just cannot be destroyed. We're invincible as long as we're on this earth. We're just totally invincible. I mean, really, an atom bomb could go off, and if it wasn't your time and you still got more to do for the revival, people would be melting from the atoms and you'd just be standing there watching it. You are invincible until that time when He gets ready. Love casts out all fear. But in Romans 8, the same thing as in 2 Corinthians 4, where He says, we which live are always delivered over into death, that the dying might be of Christ. His life may be manifest in us. Romans 8 says this, we which live are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, when all that persecution comes, here's the choice. Are you going to stand up to it under your own? Or are you going to go into that place that we affectionately talk about, that the Holy Spirit delivers you to, is that dying process, which is bottom line. What are you saying? Bottom line, it's choice. It's choice. Do I live and exert myself? And the way that you do that is not on just the moment. What we found on that is this. There's a place of preparation for that. If you wait for the storm, you probably won't live out your life in His death. And when we say death, we're not talking about cancer working in your body. We're talking about you dying to your will, your emotions, and letting His will and His, if you want to say it this way, His emotions live through you. In other words, you do have to count yourself. That's the remedy. That's the place. That's the place where all fear goes. That's the place where you can say, okay, all this stuff surrounds me, is when you find that grace, is really when you just become a lamb before the shears is dumb. You're not submitting yourself to the trial. You're submitting yourself to Him and saying, okay, God, I choose to die. And dying is this, that the Holy Spirit comes in and executes that truth that your body is dead. Fasting will do it. But the number one way that we started out, and the one way that we know this, Romans 8 says, it's through the Spirit that we mortify the deeds of the body. So I know if I'm praying in tongues, He's going through my spirit and He's preparing me. And that's behind closed doors. That's behind closed doors. You cannot sit hour after hour. Homer's made a valid point Sundays. I loved it the way he said it. Everybody laughed and I did too. He goes, there's no condemnation if you're not praying. There's no condemnation. But there's no peace either. I said, oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, man. So you have to fight for it. But if you find that place, and many of you fault and fault and fault, and sometimes He'll take you out for a little bit and you'll lose that place. Really, again, there is no condemnation. But it's But it's hard to have the level of peace that you have when you're praying. It's just really hard. Hallelujah. So that mortification starts you out in a place of death. It relieves fear, and it relieves will worship. I love that. Will worship is in Galatians, or Colossians, is it? Where he talks about the will worship, that we can do things out of will, or we can do things through the mortification of the Holy Spirit. Little boy, he may have heard his mom and dad fighting all their lives. Could hear it in the next room. Fighting about his illicit affairs, and he may have found some of his daddy's junk when he was just too early to realize, and looked at it in innocence, and it began to get a hold of him. Experienced his first taste with the world before he was hardly a teenager. And then lust, after experience after experience. And he comes in to the kingdom. Now he's got two ways to do this. There's not spiritually moral, but disciplined moral sinners. Men and women that won't cheat on their husbands and wives. Not so many nowadays. But there are some. Somebody comes into the kingdom, if they don't get this message and they really want to live straight, the new nature was enough to set them free. But if the new nature was not allowed to get into all the rooms of their heart, it's miserable. Because they'll go 50 years and never cheat on her. They won't even look at things. But still, there'll be a grinding fight. Grinding fight. Hey, did you know that James even called that? He said, until lust is conceived, it's still not. I mean, there is. Somebody can hold something. They can hold it back on their own will, wanting to follow God, unless they choose to take the next step with it, go into lust. And then God doesn't even count it. Even their act of their fighting it themselves doesn't even count it sin until it goes to the next stage. But they can live, and this is just one example. But you know the walk that you're on? I love it. Because it mortifies. It takes you to a place where you don't even have to discipline that part. I mean, you do have to discipline, but it's not like you're holding it back. I mean, you always have to watch where you go and what you do and all those kinds of things. You realize that you're living in a body. But the fact of the matter is, you're not the one doing it. There's nothing on the inside that you're having to hold back. It's dead. Well, what if it's not dead? Tongues for the believer. Hallelujah. Tongues for the believer. Sitting in one place, giving time to it. And listen. Don't think we ever, 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 ever condemn windshield time. Windshield time has got a lot of us from glory to glory until we could reach the next place where we could start praying again in hours. So windshield time's great. What's windshield time? That means you're not parking the seat someplace, but you're praying as you go. Well, that's no excuse for the time when you can, but do it. Do it. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for a place called mortification? Hallelujah. Because from it comes no fear. No fear. And then you can look at all these things and say, well, listen, I am totally convinced. This is what I'm, after the years of praying that I've done, and you judge wherever I'm at, that's okay. And the Word, wherever I'm at, walking the Word, I'm totally convinced that it's your Father's utmost desire for you to live every single day in peace, in joy, and in happiness. I'm totally convinced of that. Totally convinced of that. And so, we are targeted in general. In general, we're targeted for the faith. But no weapon that's formed against us will prosper. So if you turn that and say a target is a weapon, guess what? Every weapon, every target is going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. You cannot. We were talking about that the other day in a good sense. We're really, and I give Him all the glory, so convinced in a good sense that we're on the right road that we don't even have to fight with that. You know, we don't even have to justify it and say, okay. In fact, if there's any concern, it's for them. It's for them. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you guys. Thank you so much for praying for us. I'm going to ask you to continue to pray for our finances. We're not desperate. Everything's good. We're paying our bills and finding favor with other places. But just when God brings it up, just offer the prayer of thanksgiving. This place is full and running over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you had a good time tonight? Alex is not with us tonight. He's ministering over at Ava Maria. He's over there at a football camp ministering to a bunch of kids over there. He texted me today. He said he's having a ball ministering to them. I said, man, he let me know he wasn't going to be here. And I said, man, thank you for letting me know. That's really great. And I said, you said the key word, ministry. Yeah, if you're going to miss, I hope it's ministry. So I want to pray if you have something to give tonight, we really appreciate it. Father, we love you. We thank you for the power. I want to thank you especially for the blessing that was given to Candy and I tonight. And I want to thank you, Father, for everything that they said to us, we say to them. Lord, we love them. We love your sheep. And we thank you for the call to Immokalee. And we thank you, Lord, that we are going into revival and that you've given us the victory, peace, power, love over the wicked one. And Father, we do take. Boy, is it my joy. I mean sincere joy, Lord. We take an opportunity to remind you again of the things that you're saying. We're warring with the prophecies that have been given to us. We call for those who've gone out from us. Father, we call them back. And we'll even say this. I believe this. If they can't come back here for a while, give them an intermediate place. Give them a cradle to be rocked in. God, give them something, Lord, for them to be healed until they can regain their composure. And whether they're ever back here in full force, Lord, put them full force in your kingdom. We love you so much. We bless this offering. God, I thank you for the thousands and thousands that come in on a weekly basis. And I bless you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Marty, thank you for a wonderful job tonight. Hallelujah. And thank you all for coming. We bless you. We'll see many of you Friday night. Some of you, a lot of the rest of you Sunday morning. Amen. Be blessed.